السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. وقد قال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا أحسنهم خلقا، كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Respected elders, علماء اكرام, dear brothers in Islam, let us recite درود شريف upon Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam once. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. As we are all very well aware that, alhamdulillah, since last night sunset, we have entered the Mubarak and auspicious month of Sha'ban. And this is the month which precedes the Mubarak and holy month of Ramadan. And it was regarded to be a month in which Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would exert himself in ibadat and in worship, and he would prepare himself very, very thoroughly for the entry of the month of Ramadan, which we know is a month which is filled with a lot of barakat, a lot of reward, a lot of opportunity, and a lot of gain as far as a believer is concerned. A dua that is taught to us that we should recite upon the entry of a new month: Allahumma ahillahu alayna bil yumni wal imani wal salamati wal islami والتوفيق لما تحب وترضى. Ya Allah, we ask you to enter this month upon us with yumni wal iman, with guidance, with righteousness, and with faith. These are the most important facets and aspects of a mu'min's life, of a believer's life, that we are in continuous need of guidance, and we are in continuous need of developing our iman. Yumni wal iman. Wassalamati wal islam. And O Allah, also enter this month upon us with safety, with protection, with safety of our well-being, our families, our assets, our possessions, and most importantly, of our faith. And while Islami, also enter this month upon us in a manner that we are able to practice upon our Islam, we are able to conduct ourselves as Muslims, and we are able to uphold the identity of Islam wherever we are, in whichever part of the world we are. وَالتَّوْفِيقِ لِمَا تُحِبُّ وَتَرْضَى. And grant us that ability and grant us that capacity that we are able to conduct ourselves and live ourselves as true Muslims. رَبِّي وَرَبُّكَ اللَّهِ. Our Rabb and your Rabb, O moon, O new moon, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, just as Allah is the creator of the sun, the moon, the heavens, the earth, in the same way Allah is our creator also, and we are in conformance with the system and the requirements of our Rabb and our Creator. So alhamdulillah, this is the phase or the position and the time that we find ourselves in. And therefore it calls for us to actually ask ourselves at this point in our life, another Ramadan is on the threshold, another month of Sha'ban has come in our life, many Ramadans have passed, many Sha'bans have passed, many auspicious nights of Sha'ban, 15 nights of Sha'ban have passed. And therefore, when we find ourselves at this juncture, what should be our frame of mind? What should be our reaction? What should be our mindset and our thinking at this point? Do we conduct ourselves as business as usual, as they say? Is it business as usual? Like day night comes and night comes, day comes and day goes, night comes and night goes, and we continue with our routine, we continue with our life? Or is there some additional adjustments that we need to make? Is there some bigger picture that we need to look at? Is there some type of thinking that we have to enter into? Is there something that we need to do differently? Or can we continue as we are continuing? And when we look at the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we look at the life of our pious, we find that definitely there is a new mindset that we need to approach. There is a new thinking that has to now come into ourselves, in that we cannot just continue in the way that we are continuing. Rather, we need to sit up and take note of what juncture we are as far as our lives are concerned. What point of the calendar we have reached, and there is a need for us to energize ourselves, there is a need for us to adjust ourselves, and there is a need for us to meet the demand and the requirement of this part of our life. Now, my respected friends, generally we find that there is a lot of encouragement and there is a lot of motivation when it comes to the months of Sha'ban and Ramadan towards ibadat, towards increasing ourselves and exerting ourselves in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is important because all of us continuously need to be motivated. We need to continue reminding ourselves, and we need to continue upping our level of consciousness and our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our link and our contact. And this takes place through worship and ibadat. This takes place through all the good acts of virtue that we hear about and we learn about and that we know and we conduct. Our salah, our dhikr, our tilawat, charity, hajj, umrah, fasting, and all of these things that we do within the confines of our aspects of worship, which are extremely important and which are required for us to continue keeping our level of consciousness and awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we look at the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find there were two very distinct aspects of his life. One was the aspect of worship and ibadat. Those things that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did would direct communion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our salah, our prayer, fasting, dhikrullah, tilawat, good acts of charity, hajj, umrah, i'tikaf, and all of those things that form the framework of ibadat and worship. This was one of the facets and the aspects of the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is an aspect and a facet that is extremely important for a person to do to keep his iman and his consciousness of Allah aligned. And then there is the other facet of the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which can be referred to as the aspect of akhlaq and character, the aspect of social interaction and mannerisms, the qualities of a person's real life where he engages in interaction with others, in communication with others, his transaction, his dealings, his ways, his mannerisms, and his character. So we find that our life, iman and Islam, is developed through worship and ibadat. This is the foundational phase. This is the developmental phase of a person. That when a child is small, the child is taught the important aspects of taharat and purity, the basics of iman, the fundamentals of Islam, how to perform salah, how to read salah, his diniyat, his islamiyat, his taharat, his cleanliness, purification, and all of those fundamental beliefs that are required from a person. And that is the foundational phase of iman and Islam. And this iman of a person and Islam of a person finds its perfection. It finds its completion in good character and in good mannerisms and in a person's social conduct and interaction with people in society. So we have a development, we have a foundation, we have a building phase, and we have a completion phase, and we have a perfection. The perfection of iman is in a person's character, his mannerism, and his conduct, and his akhlaq. And we find these two factors very, very distinct in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that as much as he encouraged ibadat, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged the performance of salah, he encouraged the abundance of dhikr, he encouraged the importance of recitation of Quran, learning Quran, he encouraged the performance of umrah, he encouraged the giving of charity, he encouraged the keeping of nafil fast, and all of those aspects which we regard as ibadat and worship. By the same token, and perhaps if not, by an even higher level, Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam encouraged and emphasized the importance of good character and akhlaq, the importance of human values, the importance of conduct and etiquette in a person's life. Therefore, When we look at the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we will find that this aspect of good character and akhlaq, in the hadith it is known as husnul khuluq, good character. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam has actually referred to it as the best action or the most perfect action that a person can conduct. In other words, if you are looking for something that is from among the best of things to do, the highest level of ibadat and worship that a person can conduct, then that is actually good character and good mannerisms and good etiquette. On one occasion, a sahabi comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, I want to be the best person. I want to be among the best people. I want to be regarded as the best person. Something which we all want to acquire. We all want to be from the best. We all want the best. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, Inna min khiyarikum ahsanukum khuluqa. That to become the best person in your community, to become the best in the ummah, to become the best human being, then acquire the best character. Ahsanukum khuluqa. In another hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, Akmalul mu'mineen. Akmalul mu'mineena ahsanuhum khuluqa. That the person who has the most perfect iman, we're talking of perfection, we're talking of the best quality. Ahsanukum khuluqa, that person who has the best character. So we have two things. One is the best of people is the person who has the best character. The most perfect of people is the person who has the best character. Then further on, and look at how much emphasis Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is placing on this aspect of good character, which is part of ibadat and worship of a person. So much of emphasis. Inna min ahabbikum ilayya. Inna min ahabbikum ilayya. The person who is most beloved to me. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is talking about closeness. He's talking about love. And he's talking about attachment. Every one of us claim to have love and attachment for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. All of us want to be close to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Everyone regards ourselves to be someone who is very special to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We all express our love in ash'ar and in poems and with the recitation of durood upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, etc. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is giving the avenue and the definition of a person who is closest to him. Inna min ahabbikum ilayya ahsanukum khuluqa. That the person who is the most beloved to me is that person who has the best akhlaq and the best character. Furthermore, so we have the best, we have the most perfect, and we have the most beloved. These are the top three, if you can regard, that any person who wants to acquire perfection and goodness, these are from among the top three, and all of them, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has attributed them to good character. Inna min athqali. Inna min athqali, the person who has the weightiest scale on the day of Qiyamah. Yawm al-Qiyamah, al-mu'minu, that person, that believer, who on the day of Qiyamah, he will have the best character. That person who will bring the weightiest deed on the day of Qiyamah will be that person whose scales will be filled with good character. Inna min athqali a'malin. Ala mizan al-mu'min yawm al-qiyamah husnun khuluqun. The person who with the weightiest scale on the day of Qiyamah is that person who's going to come with husni akhlaq. Now if we just look at these four ahadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what we understand, that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam emphasized the importance of good character to its highest effect. In other words, there can be no action that is better than good character. There can be no weightier action that is better than good character. And there is no action that can draw a person close to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in terms of his love and attachment than good character. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has set the standard of good character. That what is good character and which standard should we apply? Because today in the world we find that everyone has standards. Every society, every culture and every community sets a certain bar for itself. It has a certain standard that we regard this to be human values. We regard this to be justice. We regard this to be fairness. And we regard this to be good human qualities. So the question is that whose character and which character is the best character? Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has set the standard and the bar for humanity. لَقَدَ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. That if you want to know whose character is the best and who is the standard bearer of character, then fi rasulillahi uswatun hasana. The seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the life of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from beginning to end, is a universal encyclopedia. It is a universal lesson on good character and good human values. Talk about justice, talk about fairness, talk about mercy, talk about forgiveness, talk about human social interaction, talk about any aspect and any facet of political, economic and social standard, then we find that the standard is the sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is the sunnah and the seerah. And my respected friends, the reality of the matter is that whenever the Muslim ummah upheld the sunnah, upheld Islam, upheld this standard as its benchmark for success and for progress, then we find the Muslim ummah was always on a rise. The Muslim ummah was always a ummah and a nation that actually developed the following and the standard to follow. In other words, when we find when Muslims ruled over Spain, when Muslims ruled over India, when Muslims ruled over parts of Europe and all other parts of the world, at that time we will find that they upheld the standard of Islam. They upheld the Sunnah and the Seerah to its highest. And at that time the Muslim Ummah had become people who were followed. The entire world, whether it was Europe, whether it was the East or the West, wanted to uphold the standard and the identity of Islam. And when Muslims themselves, we must remember there is no deficiency in Islam. There is no deficiency in the Sunnah. There is no deficiency in the Seerah. If there is deficiency, there is deficiency in the people who uphold Islam. There is deficiency in a Muslim. There is a deficiency in that Muslim community or in that Muslim nation that has brought about its weakness. So whenever Muslims were in power, whenever Muslims ruled and when Muslims held up the standard, then we find they were followed. And when Muslims dropped the bar and they dropped their standards, then we find not only where we lost the fellowship or the fellowship, but we even lost the fact that who are we and who we should be following. Muslims began following other standards and Muslims began following other cultures and other creeds and other ways. So therefore Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam has brought this to the fore, that a believer's akhlaq is something that is extremely important and should be displayed and should be upheld as an identity. And why this distinction between worship and ibadat and character and mannerism? Is because the worship of a believer is something which is directly between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What happens in our salah, in our masjid, is confined to the walls of this masjid. What ibadat we do, our tahajjud, and all our good acts of worship that we do is confined to the walls of our home. It is confined to the Muslim ummah. We know what is the value of 2 rakat salah. The human beings out there do not know what's the value of 2 rakat salah. We know what is the value of umrah and hajj. They do not know what is the value and the weight of umrah and hajj. So when we are performing our ibadat, we know the value of it, we know the benefit of it, the mankind does not know. But what do they know what the value of? What do they know the value of? They knew the value of compassion. They know the value of mercy. They know the value of forgiveness. They know the value of giving preference. They knew the value of all the good things, the good akhlaq and mannerism. Those are the things that they know the value of. And when the Muslim ummah will begin to display the identity of the sunnah and the seerah in those aspects, and that is essentially what our akhlaq and our character is made up of. It's how we are interacting, how we are transacting, how we are conducting ourselves with the rest of the world. That is what is being looked at, because that is what they know. That is what they know the value of. And when the Muslim ummah will begin to portray that sunnah, that part of the seerah will come into vogue and will come into the ummah on a level that it is required and desired, then we will find, my dear friends, we will not need any media to convince anybody about anything. We will not need to have, even if we do not have that many institutions, or we do not even have that many media houses, or we do not even have to say that many words, but that interaction of ours, that transacting of ours, that conduct of ours alone is something that will speak louder than our actions. There is an incident about that I came across recently about a person who came from Romania. Now, Romania, we know, is a predominantly Christian country. Actually, it's very much influenced by communism. Very little Islam there. And the people there perhaps have a very warped understanding of Islam. This couple, they went to Turkey for a holiday, a recent incident. And when they reached there, they found themselves, they were a bit lost, and they could not find their accommodation, etc. So they came into contact with one of the locals, Turkish person, and they interacted with this person. This person tried to find their accommodation for them, according to the information that they had, but they could not find their accommodation. Nevertheless, this person, being a Muslim, he expressed his akhlaq and his character, and he told them that, look, you know what, it seems that it's late at night now, let us go home and we'll give you all a meal and from there we can decide what to do. So they took them to his home, and we find there this person then gave them a meal, and he had a very small dwelling. He had his children, he had his mother, he had his wife, very small constricted place, but he offered them to take accommodation in his home for that night, and tomorrow they will sort out the rest. So these people accepted it. They were foreigners, they were lost, they were desperate. They accepted his offer, his kind offer, and they slept the night. The next morning when they woke up, they found now it was daylight, they could see what was happening. They found that this person's dwelling was just that one room and a little smaller apartment with it. And in actual fact, this man and his family and his children with his mother and his wife, they had actually spent the night in an outer room. Like we have the inner of the house and a little outer room. They had spent the entire night there, and they had given the main area of the dwelling for this, the visitors and the guests. And this is how the night was spent. When this person saw this, he was taken aback. He was inspired. And he asked this person, who are you? We are complete foreigners to you. We are unknown to you. And you have done this great deed for us. You have assisted us. So this person told him that we are Muslims. I am a Muslim. And this is part of our deen and our religion, that we honor our guest and we help a person who is in. This person accepted the Shahada and the Kalima day and day. He said, if this is what Muslims are, and this is who Muslims are and what Islam is, then I have been given a completely contorted picture of Islam. So this is what the reality of it is. When that akhlaq will come into us, and we'll begin to show and display the character of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, ikramul daif, and honoring the guest is something, my dear friends, today in the Ummah we find, unfortunately, it has diminished. In those days, people used to actually make special accommodation in their home for guests. They used to have a guest quarter or a guest room where people could come and stay. Families, when they used to go for holidays, they used to go and live with relatives. Today, we know the situation and the scenario. We are all guilty of it. That even if a person comes, like one person was saying, if a guest comes to our home also, Alhamdulillah, we probably will provide a meal, but generally we try to keep the person for the shortest time at our home. And we try to pacify the person with a, you know, with a jar of sweets or chocolates, that you came to visit me, Alhamdulillah, this is a short visit, there's some sweets, chocolates, you can go away. So the kitchen does not get disturbed, the cleanliness of the kitchen does not become a problem. So this has become a reality today, where we find this aspect of the sunnah and the sinnah. This is just one aspect, but look at the impact that it had on a person who was a total foreigner. Like that, we can take so many examples. We know our character and we know our etiquette, we know our conduct in community. They say if you want to know where a Muslim function is taking place, just see how all the cars are parked outside. On the curbs and in the curbs and in driveways and everything like that, you will know that a Muslim function is taking place there. One alim, he went to a foreign country and he was being taken around by this young person, Muslim. And they went into a shopping center and they could not find parking in the shopping center. So this youngster was the host, or he was helping the host. He took his vehicle and he went and parked it in front of the gate of one house, which is next to the shopping mall. So this alim asked him, that by we parking here, are we parking the vehicle here? He said, yeah, we're parking the car here. He said, but how can you park it? Is a gate, is somebody's driveway? He says, no, this is a Yahudi's house. So because it's the house of a Jew, so therefore you can park in front of his gate and you can leave your car there. So sometimes this is the mentality and this is the idea that prevails. That, you know, because we are going to the masjid, because we are going to do an ibadat, or because we are going to do something good and great, therefore we can park anyhow, we can block somebody, we can inconvenience someone, we can, you know, conduct ourselves in any manner, but because I'm doing something good, because I'm going to fulfill some act of ibadat and worship, therefore I have the latitude or the permission to do things however I want. So like that, we can take many aspects of our ibadat, of our akhlaq and our character, where we find we are falling short. We are falling short, and this is being taken note of. People watch the behavior. When we are out in the shopping malls, when we are parking, when we are in queues, when we are out in public, people watch because they say this person has a Muslim identity. And those people have a certain picture and understanding of Islam which is dominated or which is created by negative stereotyping. by propaganda, by a very hostile media. And when our character and our identity and our ways and our actions begin to conform with that picture that has been created by propaganda, then it reinforces that. That these Muslims are these people. They are selfish, they are hasty, they do not conduct themselves appropriately, etc., etc. But when our character and our conduct begins to contradict what they are being told and what they believe, then they begin to ask questions. That if you are a Muslim, how are you conducting yourself in this way? So Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq, my respected friends, that in this month of Ramadan that is coming and even this month of Shaban, that together with us reinforcing our ibadat, alhamdulillah, we will do a lot of good things. We will read a lot of Quran Sharif. We will make a lot of dhikr. We will give a lot of charity. We will make i'tikaf. We will do hajj, umrah, etc. All of these things must be done because this is there to create the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if this is done, and in the process of all of these things being done, we are not actually bringing ourselves to a point of perfection. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has referred to akhlaq as the perfection of our iman, as the perfection of our ibadat. Then we will remain on the level of ibadat. We will remain on the level of action only, of good actions. And we will not transform our iman and our ibadat into bring it up to a level of goodness and perfection. So character and akhlaq, sometimes we find even within our acts of ibadat. Sometimes people are in i'tikaf. They have come for an ibadat, but they are causing inconvenience to others. A person through his act of ibadat, like we find in Umrah today also, person is going for ibadat, he's going to make tawaf, he's going to do a good action, but in that he's creating so much of inconvenience. In that he's showing a bad example. His character and akhlaq is so bad. So these two things are contradictory. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has expressed the character as that which is the perfection point of a person's iman. So may Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq that this Ramadan, together with us increasing our ibadat and bettering our ibadat, we are also concentrating on the perfection of our character and our akhlaq so that we may achieve the full benefit of everything that we are doing.